Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
You really need him. All the broadcasters could say is, we just got our prayers. We just got to pray. I was blessed when the anchor on ESPN prayed in the name of the Lord on network television. Isn't it amazing what happens? But a lot of people will pray or jump in Christ to get their answer. But I believe on Monday night, a lot of people made the first step, amen, towards Jesus. So with the beginning of a new year, we find the familiar phrase, new year, new you. I talked on Sunday that slogan, it looks good on a Hobby Lobby pillow. It looks good on your couch. It looks good in your living room, but a new year doesn't mean a new you. If you really want it to be new or a new year in your life, you have to become new. It's not new year, new you. It's new you, new year. So for the most mature believer in this house, if you want God to do something new, we must approach it in a new way. Here is the true church. Nothing magic happened when the clock struck midnight. Nothing special happened with the flipping of the pages on a calendar. Nothing will change if you approach the new year with an old mentality. Nothing new will be achieved with old strategies. You can say all that you want, but nothing changes until you do something new. Talk is cheap. Here is some more truth. The president is not responsible for your happiness. Congress is not responsible for your happiness. A counselor or therapist is not responsible for your deliverance. A worship team is not responsible for your relationship with God. Your pastor is not responsible for your purpose being fulfilled. Your spouse is not responsible for your success. Your parents are not responsible for the outcome of your life. Here's a little more truth. You don't need a new spouse. That was a good place to say amen if you're married. Holy smokes. You don't need a new spouse. You don't need new parents, young person. You don't need a new scene or a change of scenery. You don't need a new city. You don't need a new president. You don't need a new church, and you don't need a new pastor. What you need is a new you. And I would say a new we, but it doesn't flow in the context of the phraseology in the new year. But when I say you, I am talking about we. I am talking about us. If we want God to do something new, we don't need a new God. We don't need a new move. We need a new us. What we really need is a praising you, a worshiping you, a praying you, a fasting you, a you who spends more time in the word, an obedient you, a trusting you, a faithful you, a wise you. Ladies, we need a Proverbs 31 you. Men, we need an Acts 13, 22 you. We need a devoted you, a giving you, a serving you, a tithing you, a loving you, and a spirit-filled you. We don't need a better them. We need a better you. We point so many times, well, if this was different, well, if you don't like how it is, change it. Well, if I can only get this, if they would do this, you don't need them to become new. We just need to be renewed ourselves in Christ. And so we left off on Sunday with the first thing that has to change in your life for you to become a new person so that you can enjoy a new year is you've got to get a new mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Remember what Paul wrote, all things are passed away, they are dead, they no longer exist, and all things have become new. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you don't think like you used to think. That's a good place to say amen. I'm glad I don't have the mind that I had before I said yes to Jesus. I'm glad that I'm not in a church that has a carnal way of thinking, but now we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, Paul goes even further. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One of the things that you need to pray every day is God, not just transform my thoughts. God, transform my mind. Take my old mind out and give me your mind. Then, of course, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The mature saints in the house and watching online would say it like this: I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. What does that mean? Living for God in your living room doesn't take much, most of the time. But when you cross over the threshold and you got to go to a job that are filled with carnal people at best, demon-possessed people at worst, you need to be able to walk into that office building. You need to be able to walk onto that sales floor and say, Jesus, I woke up with my mind stayed on you, and my plan is to go to bed with my mind stayed on you. Come hell, come high water, no matter what happens today, no matter who comes at me, I know what's going to come out of me, and that's the Spirit of God. Why? Because my mind is stayed on you. Somebody say, I got to get my mind right. Second thing we've got to get new is, you got to get your ears new. What you hear affects how you live. That's why you can't be bumping all that music you bump. That's why you can't. It's amazing to me that we have not yet figured it out, that we can't have all of this violence and debauchery and lascivious living in our music, And then be surprised when it shows up in our junior highs and high schools, that we can't have video games like Grand Theft Auto and we're teaching our kids that they can do this and do that, but we expect them to live like citizens who have some sense when they've been hearing things since they were 10 or 11 years old. And a lot of time it's not the music they picked, it was the music you were bumping to on the way to elementary school with them in the car. They hear you talk to your wife the way you talk to your wife. They hear you talk about your boss or maybe your pastor like you talk about them behind closed doors. And then you're surprised when they don't have respect. You're surprised when they don't have an honor for someone that they work for, someone that they work with, someone that is coaching them. What goes into our ears affects us. This is what Jeremiah would say in chapter 7, verse 23. But this thing command I them. This is God saying this. Obey my voice. You can't obey something you refuse to listen to. You can't obey words that you don't know exist. If you were to get pulled over for speeding on some back road today, I promise you, ignorance is not an excuse of the law. Well, I didn't know what speed limit it was. Most of the time, they're going to tell you, you should have known. And you are responsible. What you hurt, that they say what you don't know won't hurt you. Oh, what you don't know can hurt you, can kill you, and can damn you straight to hell. I need to make sure I know what God has said about me and what God has called me to do. But this thing I commanded you, he says, obey my voice, and I will be your God. That's a great promise. You walk in obedience, and I'm your God. That means when you need me, I'm there. When you need an advocate, I'm there. When you need a healer, I'm there. When you need deliverance, I'm there. Why? Because you walk in obedience, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all of the ways that I have commanded. There it is again. He said, what you hear, you have to walk out and obey so that I can be your God. And then here's the rest of the promise, that it may be well unto you. Meaning this, that no matter what is going on in your life, when you hear the word of God and you obey the word of God and we walk out the word of God, he says it might not look good now, but it is going to end up well for you. That is my promise, that I will be your God and the end will be well, that I will be your Lord and this is going to turn out right. If you want 2023 to be the best year of your life, we can't just celebrate him on a Wednesday night, but Thursday we've got to walk it out. Friday we've got to obey the voice. Why? So it is well. So it is well. Revelation 3:22, a more familiar portion says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. What I say tonight, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, should do one of two things. It should encourage you in the season that you're in to look to God, to become a more mature disciple, or it should confirm something that God has already spoken to you, not in a church building. It blesses me. On Sunday, I preached the beginning of this, and someone that I love dearly met me in the altar with tears in their eyes after dismissal and said, "Pastor, what you preached today is where God has had me the last 3 weeks. The scriptures you quoted is where I've been. I've highlighted. I've circled." That blesses me, but because it proves to both of us, she heard from God, I heard from God. And when you hear from God, it doesn't matter what people say. This is not a news flash, but people are going to say things to you this year that you're not going to like. And it's not going to be from TV, on TV, from people you don't know. Somebody with the same last name as you is going to say something you don't like. Somebody is literally going to attack the promise of God that he has spoken over your life that you are standing on, but you are going to have the choice that we all have each and every day, that we are going to say, "I heard God and I'm standing on his promise," or "I'm going to throw in the towel and listen to somebody that has made no investment in me or my future." You're going to listen to someone who's made no investment, and Jesus died so that you could live today and face tomorrow. Jesus died so that we could live today and face tomorrow. So we've got to get our mind right. We've got to get our ears right. Here's something that we don't talk about a lot when we're talking about our bodies and getting our bodies right. We talk about our eyes and our ears and our hands and our feet. But let's talk about our neck. You got to get your neck right. Say, "Make this make sense, Pastor." Oh, I will. I promise you. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. I've heard Bishop quote this verse many times, but I've never preached from it. This is in the book of Acts chapter 7. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised." Check this out. He didn't say they were uncircumcised. He said your hearts, your eyes, your ears, they're not circumcised, which means this: in the New Testament, water baptism is our circumcision. So this is what Paul was saying. You're still wet from being baptized, but you're still not living right. You did the act of baptism so you could have your photo op. Come on now. That's why I always encourage people when I say, "You ready to be baptized?" "Oh, well, I wanted my grandma here." We don't need your grandma here for you to get baptized. That's why we have Facebook Live. That's why we're on livingwaychurch.net. You can watch Facebook Live from here till eternity on the archive, and grandma can watch you get baptized. Listen, Jesus is not taking roll call at your baptism. He's saying, "Is there somebody willing to circumcise their hearts so that they can follow me as a believer, that they can announce to the world that it's not just an expression, but I am ready to follow with my life?" But this is what Acts says: "You stiff-necked people, your hearts, your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors." Ooh, has anyone ever said you're just like your daddy? Just like your mama? For me, that's a good thing, praise God. You're just like your granddaddy. You come from a long line, and they mean it as a negative, dismissive, divisive thing. He said you're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Spirit. What a rebuke. You stiff-necked people. Someone turned me on to a place called The Joint. Now let me preface that. This is a chiropractic office. And I have physically, I deal with a stiff neck. But I go at least once a week and a half for 6 or 7 months now. And I have them pop my neck. And I love it, y'all. And sometimes I get a chiropractor that I don't like because they tell me, "You don't have to have the pop for it to work." Oh, no, I need the pop. I need to know that what I just paid you, that I got my money's worth. And when I get in my truck, I start looking around. Did it work? Did it work? But what I don't like is for a very split second, when it pops, it hurts. And for that split second, I'm like, Maybe I don't need the pop. For a split second, I'm like, you know what? I didn't even get their credentials. Maybe they just snuck in here and they're just cracking people's necks. But then after that split second, it feels so good. Full range of motion. Can I encourage somebody today? Some of you spiritually are like Pastor Mandy at the chiropractor. She doesn't go because she doesn't like that sound, doesn't like that pop, doesn't like any of that. And I tell her, if you can just get past that, you're going to feel so good. And there's a lot of us coming into 2023 that God is requiring us to pop us back into place, to pop our neck, to pop us and get rid of that stiff neck so that we can hear and quit resisting the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you, it's a good hurt, because after you get past that initial correction, your life begins to become more fluid. You have a full range of motion. You find now that you can do things. I'm preaching better than your amen. And you find that you can now do things that you could not do before your adjustment. But check this out. Your eyes and your head follows the next direction. If I want to look over here without even turning my body, I can turn my neck. And it changes, church, my focus. Could it be that you sat in the same place so long that you become stiff-necked? Could it be that you've been doing the same thing over and over and over again, and now we're expecting God to do a new thing, but we don't want to do a new thing? And God is saying, oh, if you want me to do something new, I need you to become new. And when you become new, I'm going to open you yourself. I'm going to open you to some things that you have never encountered before. The neck determines the direction of the head and eyes, which determines the direction your body and life will go. It is time that we get circumcised in our hearts, in our ears, in our eyes, and we quit resisting the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is speaking, it is directing, and if we will follow his leading, 2023 will be the best year that it has ever been. Talked about your mind, your ears, your neck. Let's talk about your eyes. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, this is Jesus talking. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Some of us complain about tripping over things, yet we keep living and walking in darkness. You can't complain about stumbling over something when you refuse to live in the light. And if your light is not right, your eyes are not right. Because your eyes, when they're healthy, allow light to come in. And so if you want your 2023 to become truly new, if you want a new power, new anointing, new worship, new prayer life, a new relationship with God, then you are going to have to step into the light of God and say, God, there's some things that I'm no longer going to look at. There's some things I'm no longer going to focus on, and I'm going to get my focus back on you. David's life began a downward spiral, all because he could not quit looking at what he was not meant to look at. Could it be that you are just one pivot away, one change of direction away from getting out of the darkness and into the marvelous light that Jesus died to give us? Psalm 121, he says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can I encourage you, the first 3.5 days, you might have been focused on the wrong thing. 2022, you might have been focused on the wrong thing. But be like the writer here and lift your eyes and your gaze up over your problem, and you will see your problem solver. Look over the problem and you will see your Savior. He's there, and whatever you focus on is what's going to become magnified in your life. Remember this, the two spies could not see the giants because they were focused on the promised land. But the 10 spies couldn't see the promised land because they were focused on the giants. They were standing in the same spot, church. They were standing looking at the same direction of the enemy. But two said, those giants are tiny compared to my God. And the 10 said, those giants are huge compared to what I am here to tell you. You've got to focus on the right thing. And the right thing is not Fox News, CNN, or the Wall Street Journal. You got to wake up with your eyes fixed on Jesus. You got to go to sleep thinking about Jesus. What you focus on, you magnify. And what you magnify becomes your reality. Doesn't have to be my reality, but because you magnified it in your life, it becomes your reality. Anyone know someone who just continually makes excuses as to why they haven't made it, been successful? Why they haven't had a great marriage? Why they haven't raised great kids? Why they can't put more than a few $100 together? They're always making excuses. Remember this, for every person that makes an excuse, there is someone that had the same exact circumstances or worse that said, I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but rather I'm going to use that as the motivation to get me out of bed and to become all that God has called me to be. What was the difference? Someone else was focused on poverty when someone else was focused on the promise of God. I am here to tell you what you focus on will be magnified, and what magnifies in your life becomes your reality. One of Bishop's friends used to call him behind his back Sonny in 75. He said, you can't talk to Fender, talking about Bishop. He said, you can't talk to Fender without hearing that Sonny in 75 forecast. He said, San Antonio, and he wasn't talking about the actual city, which the city's temperature is usually nice. He was talking about the church is always doing good. His kids are always doing good. Marriage is strong. Man, my life is good. Listen, people are going to get tired of you talking about how good your life is. Doesn't mean we don't have valleys. We just don't focus on the valleys. Doesn't mean that we don't have hard moments. We don't just focus on the hard moments. You got to remember, the guy holding the mic has had a dad and a mom who have beat cancer at least 8 or 10 times between themselves. I got a big brother who's beat cancer. I've got a wife who was born crippled that walks just fine. My son was healed from blurry vision. My daughter couldn't talk till she was 4. I'm here to tell you, it's not that I haven't been through some valleys. It's that my eyes have stayed fixed on Jesus. Say, Living Way is a blessed house. Oh, it is a blessed house. We've been here 47 going on 48 years. But you've heard Bishop tell the story in the 80s when the economy just tanked in the United States, that Bishop had a $1 million loan for this church that had a variable interest that floated to 22%. For those of you who are not math majors, that means just to service the interest on the note was $220,000 a year. That's a $20,000 a month interest payment. We couldn't pay the interest, but God. You come to me with a problem, I'm going to talk about Jesus. You come to me with all kinds of calamity, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Oh, that's pie in the sky. No, it's not pie in the sky. It's His Spirit, the same Spirit that now dwells in me. You can get me to talk bad about the Cowboys, Greg Popovich. You can get me to talk bad about the Spurs. You can get me talk bad about all kinds of things, but you'll never hear me talk bad about my God. Why? Because I'm so focused on Him. He has never let me down. Let me tell you, the God that we serve, He has never let me down, but I've let Him down umpteen times, and He still is faithful because my focus is on Him. Let's go just a little further. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Can I encourage those of you that are doing extra Bible reading this year, and that's one of your New Year's resolutions, to spend more time in God's Word? If I can encourage you, highlight, write down Psalm 119, verse 18, and read this and declare this anytime before you open the Word of God to have devotion. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Anytime you see the word law, it is the Word of God. So before I open up the app on my phone, God, open my eyes, not these eyes, but my spiritual eyes, so that I can hear what you're saying to me about my situation, about my future, about my church, about my pastors. Open my eyes. Doesn't matter if you read the whole Bible this year. You might have open physical eyes and closed spiritual eyes. You might as well be reading Rip Van Winkle. I don't even know where that title came from in my head. Y'all, this is a crazy place up here, all the things bouncing around while I'm preaching. You might as well be reading poetry if you're reading with a closed spiritual eye. When you come to church, God, open up my eyes that I might see the wonderful things. Lord, let me get past the preacher's voice. Let me get past the preacher's personality. Let me get past the preacher's cadence, and let me hear what you are saying. I love it, Sister Tanya. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me or they'll message me and they'll say, when you said this, Pastor Brandon, it changed my life. And I'm thinking, I never said that. I know what I said, and I know I didn't say that. But it changed your life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that they heard you and that they saw you and that they didn't hear me and see me. Somebody ought to give God praise for that word tonight. Let me go just a little further. Oh, this one's going to hurt, but it's going to be a good hurt. You got to get your mouth new. Me included. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your mouth produces fruit. When you say good things, it produces good fruit. When it produces bad things, it produces rotten fruit. I laugh at Mandy all the time because we have probably wasted more money on bananas at our house than any other waste in the last 19, almost 20 years. Because I don't know about you, but we have to eat those bananas when they are perfectly ripe. And it seems like they're bright green. And then the next time I walk through on the same day, they are brown as can be. And we always joke with her. I say, you should make some banana bread. Knowing she ain't going to make no banana bread because nobody in her house is going to eat banana bread. Banana pudding, yes. I love banana. I'm just putting that out there. I love banana pudding. But we don't eat it because it is rotten. The problem is what your mouth produces, you have to eat. You don't get the choice to discard that fruit. You spoke that about your wife. Now live with her. You spoke that about your husband. Live with them. We know what you said about your kids. Live with them. What did you say about your boss? You called him a no good bleepity bleep bleep bleep, and then you show up tomorrow. Guess what he is? You spoke it. You get to eat it. Oh, it's getting quiet. I like that. Because now you're thinking about what you said in the last 3.5 days. You know that old saying when somebody would say a profane word, you kiss your mama with that mouth? We shouldn't even say that. You praise God with that mouth? You quote scripture with that mouth? You make these grandiose statements of faith, and then you drop the other F word? The Bible says that in James, it says that that cannot be. You can't have one blessings flowing and curses flowing out of the same source. So I want to encourage you, change your vocabulary. Change what you're talking about. Talking about people is not going to do anything for your life. Talking about all the things we love, but start declaring the word of God. Start declaring the promise of God. Start saying what you want to see. Become a prophet for your house. Become a prophet for your job. And watch your life start following your word. Say what you want to see. Things we don't say at our house, and I've said this before, and I'll say this a million times as long as I'm alive. We don't say things like, I cannot afford. I say things like, I choose not to buy now. We don't say, I'm sick. We say, I'm catching a healing. You say, those are just aerobics, calisthenics with words. No, it's faith in action. I'm not going to let the devil know that what he's doing is working. I'm not going to let the enemy know that the buttons he's pressing are working. I'm going to keep praising so that when he attacks me on Tuesday, then he sees me worshiping on Wednesday night and hears me speaking faith on Thursday, he's going to have a board meeting and say, didn't I tell you to do this, this, and this against Brandon? Yes. Well, why is he up there preaching, worshiping, praying? Why is he up there declaring faith? It confuses the enemy when you speak. Give me two more minutes. James 3:9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. We have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Fresh water, salt water cannot flow from the same spring. Some of y'all are salty, and it shows in what you say. And we might not be talking about profanity. We might just be talking about a faithless, negative speech. Why them and not me? Oh, that is horrible to say. I can't catch a break. Horrible to say. When's it gonna be my turn? Horrible to say. Start praising with them. God, I'm so grateful that her son was in the altar. My son's next. God, I'm so grateful, man. Look at their strong marriage. Man, look at her praising with her husband. One day my husband's going to be standing next to me. Oh, they got a new house. Ooh, let me buy them a gift as a housewarming because I know I am next. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. You got to watch your mouth. Let's talk about your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I started from the head down because it flows from the head down. We're talking about our hearts. Guard your heart because the issues of life, everything flows from your heart. Matthew, this is what Jesus said, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus said, because of their hearts have hardened. Their hearts have grown callous. He said, their eyes no longer see what I need them to see. Their ears no longer hear what I have to say. And if they could see, hear, and feel in their heart what I'm doing, he said, I would heal them. I want to encourage you. Change your life. You'll change your world. New you, new year. Let's talk about your hands. Just your hands and your feet are left. Ecclesiastes 9:10. I've been quoting these verses every day of my life the past few months. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of death, dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. When you hear sports figures say, we left it all out on the field, it is literally a perfect illustration of this verse. Jesus said, whatever your hands find to do, or this is what the wisest man, Solomon, said, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might because you cannot take anything to the grave. Leave it all in this life. I told someone this past week, I said, I want Jesus to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I don't want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, comma, but you left a lot in that life that I gave you. You left a lot of souls unsaved that you were supposed to preach into the kingdom. There was a lot of people that were sick, that were bound, that you were supposed to lay hands on. Whatever your hands find to do. Deuteronomy 28:8. I say this one every morning when I'm feeding my horses. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns, praise God. And on everything you put your hand to, that's your job, everything you touch, the Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. Stand on your feet, church. And the final thing that you've got to get new is your feet. Every path that leads to heaven, I love this quote, every path that leads to heaven is walked with willing feet. No one is ever driven or forced to paradise.